Chapter 16. Lexi was just leaving the retirement center after dropping Nans and the gang off when her cell phone made cooing dove noises, her ringtone for Jack.
"Hi," she chirped into the phone.
"Hey there."
Jack's deep baritone caressed her ear, and Lexi's pulse quickened, her lips curled up in a smile. His voice still affected her the same way it had when they'd first met.
"I heard you caused a little trouble over at McGreevy's."
Lexi cringed. "Hey, that wasn't my fault. Ramona started it." Jack laughed.
"Well, I'm sure you and Nans were there for reasons other than paying your condolences. How about we meet for dinner and you can tell me what you found out?"
"Dinner?" Lexi glanced at the clock, surprised to discover it was after 5 o'clock.
"Yeah, you don't have plans with your folks or anything, do you?"
Jack asked. "No, they're having dinner with some old friends tonight. I'm free."
"Great. Meet me at the Burger Barn in 10.
"Okay, see you then." Lexi snapped the phone shut. She was excited at the thought of meeting Jack at their favorite restaurant. Things had been so crazy lately, she hadn't been able to spend much time with him, and her parents' presence in her driveway pretty much eliminated any possibility of spending any time alone with him. She pulled into the Burger Barn a few minutes later. Jack was already there, so she pulled her little Beetle up next to his truck. Jack jumped out of his truck and came over to open the door for her.
"Wow, you look great."
He held her at arm's length and made a big show of looking her up and down. Lexi giggled as he let out a wolf whistle. Jack brushed his lips against her forehead, his hands on her shoulders.
"How was your day?"
"Great." Her 5'1" frame made it necessary for her to tilt her head back to look up at all 6 feet of him. "How about you?"
"Good, but I'm starved. Let's eat."
He draped his arm around her shoulders as they walked to the entrance. The smell of grilling meat hung in the air, and Lexi's stomach grumbled. She hadn't realized how hungry she was. A burger sure would hit the spot. They got a seat in their favorite booth and ordered right away. Neither one of them needed to see a menu. They'd eaten there enough times to have it memorized.
"How are things going with your dress? Is it going to be ready?"
Jack asked over the rim of his beer.
"Dress?"
Lexi's brows mashed together as she stared blankly at Jack.
"Yeah, you know, your wedding dress. You do remember that we are getting married Saturday, don't you?"
Jack teased. Lexi slapped her forehead with her palm. "Yes, of course. I guess I've been so focused on this investigation. I hadn't been thinking about the dress, but my mom has it all under control." Lexi started mentally going over her to-do list for the wedding. What else had she forgotten? Her stomach fluttered with nerves as she pictured the ceremony without flowers or the reception without food because she'd forgotten to finalize some detail, like making sure the guys got fitted for tuxes. "What about the tuxes?" she asked.
"All taken care of."
Jack smiled.
"Your dad and I went downtown and got fitted today. Then we hung out at the cigar club and had a few beers."
Lexi frowned into her beer. She'd been so immersed in the murders that she didn't even know Jack had taken her dad out for some male bonding. "Gosh, I've been so busy with this investigation, I haven't been paying attention to much else." Lexi put her hand over Jack's hand. "I'm sorry." He flipped his hand over and laced his fingers with hers.
"No worries. I don't blame you for investigating it. I've been keeping an eye on it for you. And Davies isn't doing a half-bad job."
"Really? She seems like a total ditz to me." Jack laughed and leaned back in his chair.
"I did find out something about the case today that you might be interested in."
Lexi lifted her brows slightly. "Spill it."
"The medical examiner nailed down the time of death for all 3 victims. Stuart Wiggins died before Veronica and Philippe. And they were all shot with the same gun."
Lexi chewed her bottom lip. "So he didn't kill her?"
"Nope.
Jack pushed his beer aside to make room for the plate the waitress was setting on the table. Lexi did the same, taking the top bun off her burger so she could smother it in ketchup. She replaced the bun and brought the burger to her lips, opening her mouth as wide as she could in order to fit it into her mouth. The melded flavors of beef, cheese, ketchup, pickles, and mayo tickled her taste buds, and she leaned back in her seat and thought about Jack's news while she chewed. If Stuart didn't kill Veronica in a fit of anger, then who did? Who was the target at Chez Philippe? Philippe? Veronica? Or both of them? She shook her head as she swallowed the bite. This doesn't make any sense. I thought for sure Stuart killed her because of the fight they had. She took the top of the bun off of her burger and cut into it with her knife and fork. The burger was so thick that she always ended up eating it this way, even though she usually made at least one attempt to eat it with her hands. It looks like someone wanted both of them dead. Jack dipped a French fry into the puddle of ketchup he'd poured on his plate. Do you have any idea why someone would want that? Lexi shook her head. No, but I did find out who has the red Toyota. The one that Wiggins' neighbor thought he saw Veronica driving? Yes. We saw Veronica's best friend, Ramona, driving one today at the funeral home. Lexi shoved a pickle, piece of bun, and a piece of the burger onto her fork, balancing it precariously on the way to her mouth. Jack pressed his lips together. Maybe Veronica borrowed it that day. Or it could have been Ramona that had the fight with Stuart.
I hadn't thought about that. But now that you mention it, Ramona and Veronica do look kind of alike. They have the same hair color and style.
You might want to dig around and see how well Ramona and Stuart got along, Jack said.
Lexi made a face. Well, I won't be asking Ramona. She practically punched me out at the wake and then almost ran us over with her car. Jack took a sip of beer.
Well, it certainly is a perplexing case.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm Davy's best suspect. If you're perplexed, then imagine how she must feel.
Lexi pushed the rest of her burger away.
That's why I need to be on top of this investigation with Nance and the ladies. And I need dessert.
Jack laughed. The usual.
Lexi nodded. They always split a piece of double chocolate cake.
Jack signaled the waitress and put in the order, asking for an extra plate and fork. So how is the investigation going with Nance? Do you have any leads?
Lexi made a face. Not really. We have a few more things to check on. We did discover that Philippe had a large sum of money deposited to his personal bank account a while back. I'm not sure if Davies knows that, and I don't want to tell her because I have a sneaky suspicion Ruth doesn't exactly follow all the usual legal channels to get that sort of information.
That could be important to the case. Sounds like Philippe might have been involved in something.
Jack paused as the waitress brought the cake over.
Maybe the killer was really after him, and Veronica just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, but then who shot Stuart?
Lexi plunged her fork into the gooey dessert, careful to get a good amount of frosting along with the moist cake. Good question.
Jack sat back in his seat and watched Lexi polish off the rest of the cake.
I'm sure Nance and the ladies will come up with something. In the meantime, let's keep each other posted about anything new that crops up. I may not be officially on the case, but I still have some influence at the police department.
Sounds good. Lexi smiled. She felt a lot more confident about the police finding the real killer, now that she knew Jack had his eye on the case. I just hope things get settled before this weekend, or we may be getting married in a jail cell.
Jack laughed as he stood and threw some money on the table for the bill. I don't think things are that bad. I'm sure Davies doesn't really suspect you.
Lexi raised a brow at him as they walked toward the door.
Judging by what Davies had said to her in the funeral home, she was at the top of the list. Outside, it was a typical fall night with a bright full moon and a crisp chill in the air. Leaves crunched under their feet as they walked to their cars. Lexi shivered, rubbing her bare arms to generate warmth. "Are you cold?" Jack put his arm around her and she snuggled into the warmth of his body. "Yeah." This sleeveless shirt seemed like a good idea in the afternoon when it was 80 degrees. "I didn't know I was going to be out after dark," Lexi laughed. Then her voice turned serious. "Plus, I'm a little nervous about going back to my house. What with the break-in last night and all." Jack stopped at her car door and turned her to face him.
"I figured you might be. So I'm going to follow you home and come inside with you. I want to make sure the house is secure and you feel safe."
Lexi's heart flooded with warmth. "Thanks." Jack traced her bottom lip with his thumb, and Lexi felt a flurry of tingles in her belly. Her pulse skittered as he lowered his head, his lips brushing against hers, gently at first, and then deeper, more insistent. Just when she thought her knees would turn to jelly, he broke the kiss.
"And if you don't feel safe there by yourself tonight, I'll be more than happy to stay,"
he said, with a knowing smile, as he reached behind her to open the car door.